You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Jay here, Stratford Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast, and it's a bit of a reunion. It's like the Academy Review reunion. We've got the original Academy Review presenter, Dave Pritt. How are we doing, Dave?
Not too bad, mate.
Yeah? You all right? Yeah, had a busy weekend?
Yeah, been a bit alcoholic, but, you know, been good.
Bit alcoholic.
Just a little bit. That's what I used to say for many years. We've also got the Housewives' favourite, Alex Bagley's back. How are you doing, Baggers?
I'm good, mate. Really good.
Yeah? Good to see you.
Good to be back.
I have to apologise, right, because I did say to you, come on the podcast, it'll be me and Steve. And yesterday on the live, we did say it was going to be me and Steve. But Steve's not in today, so it's me and Dave.
Sorry, everyone.
It's better, innit?
Might talk about football.
Exactly. You'll get your fill of meat and stay on the brew. You don't need it all today. Anyway, we're going to be talking about the usual nonsense, man. It's so boring, innit? Everyone's losing their mind about United again because, you know, apparently you can't go throwing referees around and getting sent off. It's not allowed.
No, you can because...
You can.
Unless
you're a United player and everything's the same. Also, we're going to be talking a little bit about Marcus Rashford missing the international break, which I'm sure you'll all be devastated about. So get involved in the chat and the comments. Let's start with the referee stuff, right? Because we all saw the Fulham game. Baggers, I'll start with you. Fulham lost their mind. And it was only like 40 seconds or something, wasn't it? Those three red cards.
It was brilliant.
Right. It was crazy because it was like Marco Silva got sent off as soon as Chris Cavendish got to the monitor. As soon as he looked to the monitor, he's gone, well, that's a red card for Willian. So he's come away and sent him off. And then as he's done that, Aleksandar Mitrovic has lost his marbles and then grabbed him and kicked off, and he's got a red card. Now, you look at that and you go, three red cards, obvious, open and shut case, no drama. But now people are sort of trying to make a big deal out of it, and the likes of Darren Bent and Chris Sutton are the two main culprits, making out like, well, you can't send Mitrovic off because you didn't send off Bruno at Anfield, or why didn't you send off Bruno if you're going to send him off? Like, they're the same thing. I mean, am I alone here, or is this just nonsense?
It's complete nonsense. It's nowhere near the same thing. Like, it's... touching an official is not right, but there's the thing in the rules in it that a yellow card is if it's just in a normal way. And it should have been but Bruno for what he did, because you're not meant to do that. But it was no aggression to it. There wasn't... he didn't square up to him like Mitrovic did. Like,
no.
There's no way to even look at it. And Marco Silva just has lost his head. It's one of them, in that situation, if he'd have just calmed everyone down a bit and gone, okay, let him take a penalty. If you have Mitrovic on the pitch, they'd have had another chance.
Yeah.
And he'd have probably got another header on target.
They were battering us.
We were dreadful yesterday.
I mean, you think 10 men at Old Trafford, you got no chance, but they still could have won it.
In a cup game, they could have thrown Dan James on a bit earlier, whatever you do, keep Mitrovic on. If it's 1-1, you still fancy them to do it, because them set pieces weren't dealing with well at all.
Yeah.
And you felt like there was another one of them going to come. But as soon as those two decisions got made, nine men, under complete control, United. And it was daft because, like you said, in 45 seconds, Fulham have gone from being they're going to win this tie to absolutely no chance. They're out of it. Because, look, for as bad as United were yesterday, as soon as it got to nine men, you knew they'd just pop the ball around, they'd be fine. There was never going to be an issue with that. We're going to keep in control of it. I'm glad we scored early. I'm glad we got that goal after a couple of minutes, because I think if it had gone, even if it goes 5 minutes, even if it goes to 80 minutes, they've got something to cling on to and sit back. But United got that goal dead early, and that just covered things. And that just, you know, United played well after that, controlled it well, and Bruno did really well.
I think as well, Dave, when you saw what happened and you saw like the reaction, like that sort of set, for me, I was talking about this with the estate, sort of set the tone a little bit, didn't it, for the rest of the team. And you see, your star player and your manager both lose their minds. It's got to throw you off a bit.
It was crazy. I mean, what I don't understand is obviously people who are trying to defend it or say this, that, and whatever. For me, if you're a neutral watching that, it's got to be one of the greatest things that's ever happened in football. It was crazy.
Well,
I mean,
that's, you know, okay.
Well, no, greatest thing.
No,
one of the greatest things that's ever happened.
When have you seen three red cards in the space of 30 seconds and then two goals 5 minutes later? It was unbelievable to watch. I mean, from United's point of view, it's like, it was crazy and like brilliant. But if you're neutral watching that, it's got to be brilliant to watch.
It's never happened before where that's not been caused by two players on opposite teams having a scrap or something.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing. It was all self-implosion. Now, Marco Silva said in his interview afterwards, he kind of went, "We've been stitched by Chris Kavanagh this season." And I think that's what's gone in the back of their mind, is that he's stitched us up a couple of times this season. He said this. And he was waiting for something to happen. And I don't think that was the time to lose it. I think there might have been a shout for the penalty in the first, not the horrific dive. There was one like early on, I think Luke Shaw pushes Mitrovic, maybe. But don't lose your head then. Like, I don't get it.
Afterwards, his interview as well, he just had no remorse. It was just like, you know, he was complaining about the referee. He didn't think the card should have happened. He felt, did your team implode? And he was like, no. He clearly did. And it was like, I think all three of the red cards were unavoidable. I don't think Willian had to handball it.
No.
He could have turned his body. If you watch it, the way he hits it, his body's behind it. It's crazy. And then,
I think he's hitting the post as well.
I know, I was a bit annoyed with Sancho at first. I thought he should have hit it earlier.
He's done that a couple of times. He's gone around the keeper, hasn't he?
He's keen to get it onto his right foot. And I thought, surely with your left, you can finish there. But I mean, it doesn't matter. He didn't. It worked out well. But at the time, I was like, oh, and I thought, is that even going in? Willian, I kind of get it, because I think you've been in that situation where you're on the line. It's almost a bit instinctive in it. You just try and block the shot. And I think, had it not... The strange thing about that is, right, Chris Kavanagh can see this, and he doesn't give it as a penalty. Like, he has to wait for VAR, which is a bit surprising, because I thought the angle he had, the view he had, he should have been able to see that was an handball.
I think he disguised it quite well.
I don't know, because part of me is thinking, like, we saw it with Andre Mariner against Palace, where it was a blatant handball in front of him and he didn't give it. And I don't know, sometimes I think the refs are too reliant on VAR. They're thinking, like, if I don't give it, VAR will sort it anyway. And I think the weird thing about that is, yesterday, is had he give it and it's not gone to VAR, Silva doesn't get sent off, and maybe, you know, Mitrovic doesn't lose his head the way that he did. Because obviously, you know, he's rattled everyone. I don't know.
Well, I don't even think it's with the manager. I've heard that it wasn't anything he said. It was because he encroached the VAR box.
Yeah.
And apparently that's a straight red. I didn't know about that.
Right. Well, that's the thing with the manager.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
I mean, I don't understand why he's gone over anyway, because it's not like, even if you are aggrieved at something that's happened earlier, you're not going to help your cause for this VAR decision. It's not going to, like, he's not going to go, you know what?
You're right.
You're right. I should have get. You know what? You're right. In fact, not only is it not a penalty, I'm going to send off Sancho. Like, it was just insane. And he's done that, got a red. Mitrovic has lost the plot, and that is the game over.
But I still can't understand why he's lost the plot.
I think it's just built up from the bad decision. Because the one he was like agreed with, I think there was the Antonio one early in the season. So Antonio's gone through and essentially juggled it through and then scored. But apparently, because it's come off their keeper, the Fulham keeper, and come back, they couldn't go back and look at it. So it was a bit... It was a mad decision. But I think that has just built up in his head going, it's Chris Kavanagh, he's going to give us a bad decision. But that was nothing to do with it. I don't get it. But I do think there's got to be something done with what they're checking, because this is getting a bit mad now.
I just feel like there's an over-reliance on it, and almost like no rest don't want to take responsibility. I remember the one at St. James's. Was it Nick Pope on Jimenez? Raul Jimenez.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, the ref's looking at it, and you think, surely that's a penalty and a red card. But is there an element of, will the ref not give it? It's not clear and obvious error. So VAR's sort of going, well, we're not going to get involved then. Do you know what I mean?
I think
I always think as well, if the ref did give that, would VAR go, now you've got it wrong, have a look at the monitor? I don't think they would.
I don't know. But even like the Southampton one last week didn't even get looked at.
Yeah.
You know, the handball.
That's a handball, surely. Yeah.
I think there's got to be, I think they switch it and make, you know, like how tennis have the challenges. I think your manager should get three again.
I think it was
can't
it,
three because
it was,
the, he was the saying trouble this. Is you take too long in football. I mean, right. Even
someone was
decisions.
Suggesting this the other day. I can't remember who it was on a podcast saying about tennis. It might have been Joe. I don't think he was suggesting he was talking about it. And I think the only problem with that is, I understand what you're saying, is if you've got three challenges, say it's like the 85th minute and you've not used any of them, the opposition score, and there's any sort of, you're going to challenge it. Is it going to make it worse? You know, like the, just using your challenges, because we may as well.
Yeah, I think the only way you can do it with challenges is you both get one. If it's a correct decision, if you say that was offside and it was, you can still keep your one. The moment you get one wrong, you're done.
There's got to be something, because there is something where they're not picking up on really obvious ones. And yeah, I just don't get it.
I think they should do it by capacity of the stadium.
Yeah, you should get 75,000.
If you've got the most fans in the stadium, yeah, or you've got the biggest capacity in England, you automatically get the decision.
But the trouble is then, like, the Etihad will have four layers. They'll just build an extra layer on top then.
And then they'll have four empty layers. Is that what you're saying to me? They're actually trying to do that. They're trying to increase the capacity again, which I don't know. If you've got an issue around filling it, I don't know why you want to increase it, but it's beyond me. I don't need to worry about that. We're getting some of the chats in the comments. Brian Casey says, don't understand why Silva lost it at the ref. VAR was the one who got the ref to go over and review it. Yeah, I think he was aggrieved, like Baggers was saying, about an earlier decision. That's what he was trying to pull him up on, not this initial VAR one. Rooney Toffland says, magic of the FA Cup indeed. I dare them to use it. Danny says, we keep talking nine men, but United had a pen and against 10 men. I mean, I think it was pretty much nine men straight away.
Yep.
Tina Tillerson Totolka says the national team break can be good. I hope many of our players don't join in. The squad there are pick four. Rashi has already pulled out the squad. We'll get to that in a minute. One thing I wanted to talk about as well was just this sort of the outrage that seems to be following United around a lot now. And it's usual suspects. We've seen like Dan and Ben. We've seen Richard Keys, who's sort of reinvented himself as this anti-United dude who has a thing about Vote Vegas. He hates Vote Vegas for some reason that I don't really grasp. He was coming out and saying, well, United were down 10 men anyway because they had Vegas and just the usual drivel. Chris Sutton on 5 Live was talking about it, and he said that about Mitrovic should get a 10-game ban, sorry. But he also said Bruno should have been sent off. Robbie Savage, to his credit, disagreed with that. What do you make of it all? Because it seems like every week, and you know, you might go, why do you talk about it? We talk about what's going on. Every week we seem to have this sort of, and a lot of it is faux outrage against United, and this claims that United are getting, you know, treated better than other teams.
It's going to get worse because we've started doing well, and we're doing well, but we're not doing great. We've won a trophy and we're still hoping to get into the top four. I know we're in other competitions, but we're not challenging for the title or anything like that. Imagine when we are, what it's going to be like. It's just, it's news at the end of the day. Or if you go on all the other shows and stuff, what talking about that, and all the journalists talking about that, and ex-pundits, it's got big views because the name Manchester United draws people in.
Yeah.
If there's something controversial as well, which it shouldn't be, but they made it controversial, you're just going to get views no matter what. If it was Fulham against Southampton, do you really think that they'd be talking about it as it was?
No.
What do you reckon, Baggers? Is it just a bit of the old, you know, they know what people will click
I'm
on?
I'm not worried, clickbait. But at the same time, after the whole thing about the City game,
good point, Ness.
It seemed to go over into the games, and like we got that Palace decision happened what 3 days later, and it was an obvious penalty. Like, but you can tell, it feels like the referees go, "Oh, we can't just if there's any kind of controversial stuff, we have to kind of take a step back and maybe go let it off." And it feels like it was 3 or 4 weeks until it kind of levelled itself
it's
back
really,
up again.
It's really good,
and I don't mind it as like. Said it doesn't. When people are losing their heads, it's great. It's great because everyone says it means United are good again. Like Liverpool got slated. I mean, they got slated when they were doing well again. People picking up things. it's what happens when you start playing well again. The worry is decision next week. Now the good thing is you've got an international break, so hopefully in 3 weeks' time it's not going to be a problem, and there's not going to be something at St James' Park that go that's happened. But it does feel like it. Oh, we'll let you off. You know, we've given you that one, so we'll let that one off. Whereas again, United had nothing to play in that one yesterday. There's things you go, oh, they got away with a dodgy goal or something like that. Nothing was influenced there. It was a blatant handball. Marcus Silva's lost his head. Easy. You could see, I was sat right in front of that. You could see him running towards me. He's going.
I think there was the kid, right? It's weird because I was watching before I came here, because I was here for the watch along yesterday. I was watching Sheffield United versus Blackburn, and they, Sheffield United, the lad, I think, is it Robinson? He saved one on the line with his hand. Or not on the line, slightly in front of the line. But it was a penalty. And he got a yellow, right? He didn't get a red, which I thought was odd. I thought, surely that's a red.
Yeah.
And then, as if to add insult to injury, 2 minutes later, he goes in quite almost two-footed on someone, takes him out, and that's a yellow.
Yeah,
he's already on a yellow. And you think, well, that's a yellow, so that's his second yellow, and he don't get a second yellow. And Sheffield United obviously went on to win the game. That was worse and more controversial than anything that you can associate with what went on at United. In terms of controversy, I don't think there's much controversy at United. Obviously, there's more drama with three red cards. But no one's really talking about that.
No.
And that could have been Blackburn Rovers in the semi-final of an FA Cup for the first time since God knows when, probably since the 1800s. Like, but no one's bothered. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no discussion about it. There's no analysing it. There's no, you know, it's not all over the papers. It's just, like,
I mean, it's, I know it's not fair to say, but because no one cares, that's the problem.
I mean, Blackburn, you know, fans will care, but
yeah, of course.
Like,
I mean,
but you're right. It's not like a global national news story.
Yeah, the national news should be reporting stuff like that, but they don't, because they're only interested in figures and numbers, and unfortunately, them teams don't bring it in.
Yeah, because I even saw Sheffield United fans tweeting like, "We've got away with one here." Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was, you know, when your own fans are saying
it's
that.
It's a big game.
But both incidents saying that we could have got a red there, and then he does something else 2 minutes later when he's on a yellow. And then we're going, oh, I hate it when he's playing in this VAR because it's just dodgy.
But I think that's it, it's the inconsistencies. Yeah. Like, if that gets given a yellow and in the afternoon give it a yellow, and, you know, I see Dermot Gallagher all the time going, oh, you can't compare, it's got to be in-game and that's how you do it. But when you're doing this VAR and it's going away from the ground to someone else, you have to have consistency across the board. And I think that's been the big thing about the Casemiro one. I thought that was a red card last week. When you look at it, I think, you know what? Studs up, he's kind of lunged in a bit. But then you look back at the decision that didn't happen in that same week. That Pereira one on João Felix is a worse tackle. And you have to compare them. He should just get a red. It's the inconsistency. It doesn't make any sense that it's not happening across the board. It made sense when there was no VAR. You go, that's one ref being a bit more lenient. That's one ref not. But when you go into
when there's a team of people behind watching it.
And especially on the same day in the same competition, same kind of decision. He's got to be consistent.
Yeah, as and you make a good point. Dermot Gallagher, who's hardly missed the Manchester United, he's been talking about it, and he was saying, like, when you talked about, yes, you want consistency, but also certain incidents are different.
Yeah.
And he was saying the Bruno one is completely different to the Mitrovic one. It's, you know, he was talking about it. He spoke about it at the time when it happened, and he said it's not a red because A, the linesman's grabbed him, and B, he's barely touched him. Like, the linesman shouldn't have grabbed Bruno. He's barely touched the linesman. You look at Mitrovic, he was out of control, really. I mean, he's grabbed the referee in anger and, like, proper grabbed him. It's not the same. And you can see that one was slightly annoyed as he's trying to get a ball back as his team are getting battered. Another one who's just lost the plot because he sees the game and his chance of playing at Wembley, again, slipping away from
him. After when he gave him the red card after he, like, shoved him, if the referee weren't walking back, it'd have gone right into him.
Well, you had a point where United players were almost sticking up for the ref. Do you know what I mean? It was like,
and then that's Shaw and was it Tete?
Oh, just, I love that. We've seen that, Shaw and Tete. How wholesome was that? It's like, come here, bro. We don't need to worry about this. Oh, I love that. It was so funny. I've got a load of super chats and comments and chats to get into, but before I do, spring has sprung, right? And our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below the waist grooming, have the best tools for some spring cleaning in your pants. Trust me, eh? It's like what players say, don't they, when it's a penalty. Trust me, ref, trust me. It was an handball, trust me, I swear down. Trust me, your confidence will be blooming like the flowers. Look your best this spring and join the other 8 million men. It keeps going up, man. People are getting involved who trust Manscaped trademarks using the code DEVILS20 to get 20% off and free shipping. Because Manscaped are here to change the way us fellas, us blokes, take care of ourselves and groom ourselves with a performance package. Not 1.0, Dave. Not 2.0. No. Not 3.0. 4.0, bro. Wow. Right? The 4.0. Inside the ball care bundle, which is what you can get, you've got the lawnmower 4.0. Yeah? The trimmer. You've got the weed whacker ear and nose hair remover, which men of a certain age like me.
It's quality.
Yeah. Do need that. And you've got the crop preserver ball deodorant, the crop reviver toner, the performance boxer briefs.
I think I've got them on now.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
See what I mean? Yeah. And yeah, I thought I could sense
the welcome fit.
I could see how relaxed he was and how he was pretty chill. Do you know what I mean? He was like Tete in that game yesterday. Yeah, he was just chill relaxed. Out. Just not, yeah. No dramas. It's because he's got them boxer briefs on. Yeah.
Maybe Tete had them.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got everything you can want there. Yeah. Revivers, toners, preservers, all that stuff. But not only that, you've got the shed travel bag as well. You can put all that good stuff in your shed travel bag. Walk off the bus, give a little thumbs up to the cameraman like you're playing in the game, and all this for 20% off and free shipping. So click on the link in the description, use the code DEVILS20, 20% off and free shipping this spring. Sort out your spring cleaning, your balls will thank you. And a big thank you to Manscaped for sponsoring this podcast as well. Right, let me get in some super chats and comments as well, and then we'll respond. Dale Gibson, who's been a member of the first team for 27 months, says, three of the easiest, least controversial reds you'll ever see. He's talking about us or the decisions. It's because it's United that these whoppers are piping up. Love that. We're hating again. I love that. I love the way the language is used there. JXTXM says NFL has one challenge each half. If you win, you keep it. Works pretty well. Great show, lads. I don't really watch.
The difference between there is the NFL, it stops. There's a lot of stoppage in play where there's a lot of moaning at the moment about how much time the ball's in play during the actual game. So if we're currently stopping,
they just need to get quick. They have to find a way of getting, and whether it's ref, go over to the monitor straight away and have a look at it. Like, don't do this. Right, we're going to look at it for 10 minutes first, and then tell you need
to
look at it.
It's got to be awkward.
Has to be quicker
because the referee's getting information in his ear, and all the players are just like, "What's going on?" And he's like, "I don't know."
It's even worse at Old Trafford where there's no, because like most, I think it's only us and Anfield that don't have a screen. So at least the crowd are going, I can see that there.
Because for us, when I'm in the side, you have to look and try and look through one of the executive box windows.
And the speakers
to see their screen.
The speakers don't work.
Yeah.
So there's no VAR checking.
Yeah. So you're trying to look at their screen. And my eyesight, you stood next to me at the game. And I spend all the game going, who's that? What's that? What happened there? I'm a nightmare. So you're trying to look through there and see what's going on the screen. I mean, it's completely pointless, but everyone tries to do it. So yeah, it does get a little bit annoying. And it spoils your excitement and enjoyment of the game for me. Red Lad, welcome to the Academy. He's new to the membership. Go and check out the members section as well. We've got new videos up there. You can join the Telegram group as well. Lisa Crime says, hi guys, you're amazing. Dale Gibson says, Dave Pritt with a last minute sub for Steve. Proper strength in depth at Paddock. I love that. Tina Telefus. Sorry, let's try again. Tina Telefson to Tocker says, United earn the big outlets. Click and click becomes money. City, Arsenal, Spurs are not giving the same amount of clicks as the mighty Manchester United. I agree with all that. Click like, please hit that like button, like the video. Just before we talk about Marcus Rashford, I wanted to ask you both about what's going on with Spurs and Antonio Conte. What have you made about that?
It's great, isn't it?
Because there's a few people who, when things were going wrong for Ole and Conte was there, who looked at him and thought, might be worth getting Conte in because he's a winner. We didn't. We went with Ten Hag for the longevity. That seems to have been the right decision, doesn't it, really? Because I'm struggling to find any United fan who disagrees with that.
No. I think, look, people go in, he's not got the squad. He spent £150 million this summer on a squad that finished fourth ahead of Arsenal, ahead of United this season. Yes, we've spent more money. He spent a lot of money. Got some supposedly good players in. Basuma's not worked out. There's not been that. But just the way he talks about it, you look how Ten Hag does on every single question of, where you think we're at? Well, Man United, we should be winning games. I'll work with what I've got. You know, you look at yesterday, missing Casemiro, Eriksen, Varane, and Martial out of the first team. four that probably just go, there you go, they start.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And there was no complaining. There's not been that all season. There's been the odd time he's gone. He mentioned it after Betis gone, I've not had a full fit squad, I think, since only the City game I've had a full fit squad. But there's no excuses to it all. He's worked with what he's got. Conte doesn't seem to want to do that. Conte seems to just go, do you know what? This is how I play football. I need these players. If I don't get them, right, cool, I'm going. And look, Tottenham still got very good players there. Son, Harry Kane. Son's got worse. If a manager comes into United and made Marcus Rashford as bad as Son's been this season, he'd be slated.
I remember last season, people were saying, you know, in the summer, if you could, you'd swap Son for Rashford, even though Rashford's a bit younger. People saying that, I don't see many people. I didn't see many people arguing against that.
Doing quite well, and Rashford wasn't. Yeah. So they've just swapped roles. But I don't know. We can't say obviously with Ten Hag, I'd rather have him every day of the week. But I think he's right in some of the things he's saying about Spurs. They've just been getting away with what they've been doing for years. At the end of the day, they've spent all that money on that stadium. They're a team in London. They've got is he the greatest striker of the Premier League? But he'll have the numbers of scoring all the goals.
Yeah.
They should be doing something and winning stuff. The mentality of the whole club's just like, oh, we'll just get top four and see how it goes. And as long as they're bringing money in, I think that's all that matters to him. That team should be winning stuff. And
Just think back on the point about the transfers. Let me just run through some of the transfers they made this summer.
Yeah.
They brought in Perisic on a free.
Which is a Conte signing, big time.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go through all of them because they did a lot and some of them I've never even heard of. Bissouma, £25 million, which a lot of people wanted him at United and thought that was a bit of a bargain. Richarlison from Everton was £60 million. Jed Spence from Middlesbrough was £12.5 million. Now, I mentioned him because a lot of people wanted him at United when he was talking about how he's a United fan. Christian Romero for £42.5 million. There's a couple of others there, undisclosed, and players that were just, you know, younger players or reserves or whatever. But you're looking at, you know, if I just do some quick maths, it's around £150 million they spent there.
Yeah.
If not more, if you go through some of them undisclosed. But how many of them go into the first team?
Well, that's it. He signed badly. But United managers have never had that. You know, they made, you know, it was the board signing it, we're trying to get cheap players. No one got that credit at United. No one get told, oh, sorry, Mourinho, I know you only got the Manu Matic, but that's, you know, we didn't know you wanted him and things like that. No one got mentioned that. They said at Spurs. The only thing is, you said there, Spurs should be doing something. It gets to a point where you go, do they? Like, Chelsea spent that much money, they should be doing something. Liverpool should be doing something. United should. There's too many teams in there to go,
Even like the League Cup, they've got to be winning something. They're a team based in London who've got money. They've got one of the best stadiums in the Premier League.
Yeah.
They should be doing something. The players they've got.
Well, they don't care. But again, the managers and everyone don't care about the Cups. I think United have gone about it the right way by going for the Cups this year because it lifts everyone.
It's the same thing every time, though. Is it the managers or have they been told, listen, you've got to focus on getting top four, forget the Cups?
I don't know.
The thing is that the reason I'm asking about Antonio Conte and your thoughts is because he had this sort of mini meltdown, hasn't he? Where he's gone full turbo Jose Mourinho, criticising the players, saying basically they're not up for it, criticising the club itself or the fabric of the club, like, why do we never win anything here? You've got to ask yourself that, what's the reason behind it? This is after they drew with Southampton when they were leading with like 2 minutes to go. I think they conceded two late goals,
it was 3-1,
and they've conceded two goals and he's just gone on this run. He's obviously had enough. I mean, bizarrely, Spurs aren't even in that bad a position. They're actually, I think, the fourth.
Yeah.
And so they're still doing well. But yeah, he's obviously had enough, and it sort of shone a light on people going, there was this debate going, weren't there early in the season, or not early in the season, I should say, last season, did we miss out on not getting Conte? Now, at the time, when Ragnick came in, Conte got Spurs fourth, people were going, should have gone with Conte. Gary Neville, I remember arguing with Michael Richards on Sky Sports, was making a point of, the reason we didn't get Conte is because you wouldn't get Conte in just to the end of the season, and we wanted Ten Hag in the summer. And, you know, right now, that looks like it's come to fruition. That looks like it's been the right move, and I'm pretty confident.
I think you
right
mentioned
move.
Ragnick there, though, and there's a load of United fans last year, and I think even still this year, part of this year, going, look what he exposed, look what he said, look what he's done this, and Conte's doing the same thing. You go, well, a better manager comes in, you don't have to expose these things. You know, it's one of them. We all know the issues at Manchester United Football Club, and Ragnick's obviously laid them out. If you get a good manager in that knows what he's doing, he just signs the players he needs and plays good football, and you do that. Liverpool have issues, and if, you know, someone comes in and it's slated Liverpool, but Klopp doesn't, and he has done quite well with them, if you get a good manager in that signs the right players, you don't need to be going on press conferences and slating the board and things like that. And that's where, you know, Tottenham fans now will be going, look what Conte's doing and all this. If they got Ten Hag in, it wouldn't have mattered. He'd have got them better. He's a better manager.
I think a lot of Spurs fans though will be happy with what you said.
People are happy with Ragnick though, and look what. But he's gone. Ten Hag said, "Don't worry about that. Let's just sign these players. We'll be fine." And it's worth. And there's a way of managing these situations, and Conte isn't doing it very well.
He isn't. I also, almost as an aside, I think losing Benson Kerr was a massive blow for them. You know,
he's such a player for them.
And like, I might be wrong here, but wasn't this around the time that Conte wasn't well? And I think he's either come back or just before he's got ill. Benson Kerr's out for basically the season, and that's such a blow for them because they're such a better team when he plays in that team. Mm-hmm. So that's a blow. That's probably angered him a little bit as well because it's like, I've lost, you know, one of my best players. You're right, Son's not scoring. Richarlison is pretty much been a disastrous signing for him, despite the fact that Everton he had a decent return and was one of those players who, you know, they could rely on, who could get him goals. Not prolific, but you know, he'd pop up with a goal every three games, whatever. And he's absolutely having a stinker at Spurs. He's done twice now. He's celebrated like he's scored the winner in the World Cup final. And both times VAR have told him, it's not happening, sunshine. So I do feel a little bit sorry for him. And then you say, like, Bissouma, I've only seen him a couple of times, so forgive me for getting this wrong, but he looked terrible in a Spurs shirt. And then some of the other signings as well. Jed Spencer, I think, has already gone out loan already. I'll get in some of the comments, and then we'll talk about Marcus Rashford. Good to see Ross Murphy, Witterbird, Emma Kay, and Glenn F. all in the chat. As well, I think I'm just going to go through some of the comments as well. Amar says Levy built the stadium to attract NFL and F1 partnerships. Bo CA from California, I will debate that with Modric and Bale, Spurs were legit contenders, but after destroying Inter Milan, they went and played Real Madrid, only to be down a goalkeeper 15 minutes into the match. Solo in the chat as well from the United Agenda, always good to see him. John Shin is in the chat as well.
Superstar
TikTok John Shin. TikTok, is he a TikTok superstar?
I think he's just a social media influencer now.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
He's everywhere, John Shin, and he's like the most likable man ever. And he says good things here. He says, Paddock, like the damn video, fam. Listen, John, we won't have that language on here, son. Hey, you're not in America now. Well, you are in America, but we're not. Yeah. Should we talk about Marcus Rashford? Yeah. Erik ten Hag.
Genius.
Managerial genius. It's just been announced, just before we came on here, that Marcus Rashford has pulled out of the England squad because of injury. He's got injuries. I'm just going to go through. United put out a post. It says, Marcus Rashford has been forced to withdraw from the England squad. The Manchester United forward sustained a knock during the 3-1 victory over Fulham in the Emirates FA Cup at Old Trafford. So he's out of the England squad. Now, I just want to point some out here, right? I'm not questioning this, right? United have played, I'm just having a look now, 26 games in the league. Yeah, I know this happened in the FA Cup. 26 games in the league. Marcus Rashford has played every single one of them.
Funny. Right? Yeah. He's a good lad.
And in all but about one season, I'm just having a quick look here. In all about four of them, he started. No, about three of them, sorry, he started. Yeah? So he's pretty much played every week for Manchester United.
Yeah.
I think he's played the third amount of the most games than anyone. He's played 4 games in the FA Cup. He's played 8 in the Europa League. And he's played 6 in the EFL Cup. He's played 44 games this season for a total of 3,294 minutes. Yeah?
That's good.
So he's
good
been ever present. And he's just sods law, isn't it, for the kid? But as soon as it's England, he picks up that knock. I am gutted for him. Because that is such bad luck that you're fit throughout the entire season. And then as soon as these meaningless internationals come up, you pick up that injury. Oh, bro, I feel for you.
I'm gutted for him. Cause I know he really wanted to play against Italy and Ukraine.
He really did. And, you know, it's just what can you do? It's just such a bad coincidence. that's happened for him.
I've got a theory, isn't it?
Go on, I love it.
I just think it's because the wrong manager's in charge.
Right, okay. Oh, no. Give us it. No, go on, we'll have this. We'll do this.
Oh, no.
Right, if anyone doesn't know, a few weeks ago, when was it you said
this? It was the World Cup.
It was the World Cup. We did a watch along for the World Cup, right, because we were bored and we thought, why not? Dave said something that, at the time, I'm not going to lie, seemed ridiculous, right? What did you say, Dave?
Producer Ethan was laughing.
Producer
in
Ethan was laughing in my face. His head off, right, in hysterics. He was laughing like he's not laughed since they signed Chris Wood, right? Go on, what did you say?
I said Southgate should have gone.
Okay.
And then he's like, who are you going to get in? And I said,
don't tell me. Tell down the barrel. Go on, give me.
I said, a young man called.
A young man.
Young Welsh man called Steve Cooper.
Right.
It's not that horrendous a shout. It's not that bad.
It's a great shout.
I was a little bit bemused by it. I was like, Steve Cooper, the guy that's like, at the time, I think Forest were bottom or there or thereabouts. It did seem a little bit odd. But now, a few people have jumped on this. Like, and I can hear producer Ethan.
There's all no.
Like, giving it, but it's not like the most ridiculous comment.
Was he under 21's manager?
He was under 17's and he won the World Cup with him.
It makes sense then. Because that's the same kind of appointment as Southgate was. It would make sense.
A more successful one.
And someone that's better, yeah.
And didn't get relegated from the Premier League.
Yet.
And the thing is, the one thing I will say, because I'm not a Southgate fan, if you used to swap it, if you support Gareth Southgate in charge of Forest, does he get him promoted? Does he take him from what would his second bottom?
And Keylor Navas doesn't sign.
Sorry?
Keylor Navas doesn't sign for Forest with Gareth Southgate in charge, does he? He doesn't go, yeah, that's where I want to go.
Do you remember when people were saying, well, say people, Danny Murphy or whatever, saying that we should have got Southgate instead of Ten Hag? That would look like a good one.
No.
Yeah, so you feel vindicated. You mean you've gone early with this vindication?
It's going to happen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right, okay, you heard it here first. Steve Cooper, next England manager. Just on the Rashford front, in all seriousness, do you think this is Eric Ten Hag going, you're knackered, you need a breather, do you really need to play for England these games? Because he's looked, I think personally, a little bit shattered over the last few weeks, Marcus.
I think he has. I think that even yesterday, it was only nine, you know, down to nine men, game was pretty much over when he come off. I think he stays on because he wants to get as many goals as possible. I'm sure. I think Ten Hag wants him to get as many goals as possible as well. I think in any other scenario, he leaves him on. I think he goes, you need a break. Well, I think Bruno's the next one as well. I think I heard a stat the other day that Bruno's played more minutes than any other player in the top five leagues, including goalkeepers.
Yeah, Bruno Fernandes.
Ridiculous.
And also, when you look at how he plays, like, he's running non-stop. In the 90th minute, he's running around like it's the first minute. So that makes it even... what's this guy going on about? Some saying... No, he didn't. I'm not even going to read that out. You can go in a timeout, son, and think about what you're doing. it's like being at home with the kids. Come here, you. Give me that phone.
No
screen time for you for the next week. There you go. You're going to learn the hard way. It's a weird one with England, isn't it? Because most of us aren't bothered, are we?
Well, I think when tournaments are on
support, I know you're a proper sub-thumping with St. George in my heart, keep me
God
English.
God save the king.
God save the king. Brexit means Brexit. Do you know what I mean? That's you.
Back on that again.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Dave's got a bulldog tattoo on one shoulder and a Union Jack on the other. Union
flag.
Union Jack, yeah, flag. Yeah.
But these who cares about these international?
No,
these friendlies. What were you going to say?
No, leave it.
What were you going to say?
Don't do it. Let's not.
He thinks Britain First are a legitimate party. I don't know what the problem is. Why are they not on the ballot? What's going on here? He doesn't vote Britain First, and he never has done. I just got to get out before you start getting trolled. sorry. I love the fact Bangers panic then. Don't do it. We've had them scenarios
PTSD
before.
PTSD with Steve.
Yeah, it never ends well. Darren C says, guys, pick one past player you think would fit perfectly in this current United side. Up the Reds. Can you say hi to my lad, Jake? Hi, Darren. Hi, Jake. Thank you for your support. Who would fit one past player you think would fit perfectly in this current United side?
Paul Scholes.
Mariah in midfield.
What?
Casemiro when he's fit.
Yeah, and Paul Scholes was next to him. It's the best midfield partner
Edwin
of all
van der Sar.
Time.
Okay, I like that. That's not but a bad shout.
I mean, don't get me wrong, De Gea made some good saves last night, but when we used to have Van der Sar, we used to be on the attack constantly because the moment he got the ball, he looked for an outlet, and I don't think
Rooney
our current goalkeeper does.
Rooney would be unbelievable.
Yeah,
Rooney, Rooney was my one. I was thinking, also...
Skinhead Rooney.
I think Rude.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're swapping no respect to Vote Vegos, you're swapping Vote Vegos for Ruud van Nistelrooy.
I think we're winning everything. I think Rooney's a better. I think Rooney runs as much about Vegos and he's
Rooney's
also
probably
Rooney.
Better shooting.
Yeah, because Rooney would do what Vegos does is come deep and put the ball and then go forward and score.
Goals.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe it's Wayne Rooney. I just think I watched Marcel Sabitzer and McTominay for 75 minutes yesterday and quite like Paul Scholes just to be there. Even 35-year-old Paul Scholes would have been quite good yesterday.
Yeah, 34-year-old Paul Scholes was still
the one that came back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Scholes on the bench against City.
Yeah.
I know. I'm trying to look through some of the loads of people get involved in this. Joe S says RVP. RVP would be a good shout.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you got our peak RVP for that one season we had him when he was at his best in this team. Emma K says G Sun Park.
I mean,
we've got the new one. He's called Fred.
I like G Sun Park, right? I do. I'm not knocking you, Emma. But I think it would be absolute insanity if you could get one player
from history of Manchester United.
And you got the guy that got left out of the 2008 Champions League squad.
Biggest mistake Fergie made, though.
Was it?
It's like going.
It's like Yap Stam's not there.
It's like going Darren Fletcher.
Good player.
Great player.
Is he like, you know, you could have anyone.
John O'Shea.
O'Shea. I don't know, right? I think where the obvious one for striker, innit? Because that's one where you know we're going to sign someone. Like, you can get, obviously, you could go and get Ever or Irwin at left back, and they'll probably improve on Luke Shaw. Well, they do improve on Luke Shaw. Or you can go out and get, you know, I don't know, who's Gary Neville at right back or whatever, and that'd be an improvement on Wan-Bissaka. But I don't think it's a bigger jump as if you swap Vegas or even Martial if he's fit with someone like a Rooney.
Yeah, I think
or
so.
I think, as, like, striker wise, if they were, when they were fit, I think someone like a Luis Saha would do well in this team as well.
Right. I like Luis Saha.
No, a fit one, because the way he's positioned, he is.
Yeah, so you want to swap a Frenchman Vegas that's constantly injured
for another Frenchman?
For Luis Saha.
When he was fit, because he was
him and Martial could have a good time on the bench together, on the treatment table together. I'm not saying he isn't. I'm just saying it's weird with Saha.
He was a goalscorer.
I loved Saha when he was at United, but there's two things I always think about. Right, one-on-one sometimes he'd leave me frustrated, and he was injured a lot, but he was quality.
Yeah,
he was.
When he had that run, when we was it 2007 in the Champions League, and he was playing constantly.
If you're gonna have a striker, would you not have either? If it's not Rooney or RVP, would you not have York or Cole or even Sheringham? Sheringham would be a shout on his team. He, don't forget, he got PFA player and top scorer in one season, didn't he? Do you know what I mean?
Solskjaer would be good in this squad. He played on the right hand side as well a bit, fit in there, which we don't have any cover Anthony. Solskjaer would be a good player.
He'd be really good in this team, but we all hate him. I still, despite everything that went on, have a little bit of a soft spot just because of 2008.
Carlos Tevez.
Yeah.
He would. In this team, with the press that we love to do and linking up and all that stuff and everyone sort of interchanging.
You couldn't have him back there, could you?
No.
We'll get into some more of your comments. Abhinav Verma says, Anthony Martial is a former player that could do bits for us too soon. Dale Gibson says, Andy Cole up front would do a madness as well. I agree. Bosa says, Dennis Irwin for me, for sure. G Singh says, Cantona. Liam Clark says, Carrick. Dale Gibson said, interesting that no one said Ronaldo. It's weird, isn't it? Because Ronaldo.
We had him in this team at the start of the season.
Yeah. We did you see that goal he scored the other day?
I've tried not to, because it's just...
The free kick, where everyone just moves out the way.
Yeah. It's like the parting of the Red Sea. It's like they're basically going... Just there. Where do you want it? Make sure you don't get in the way, goalkeeper. Right, go on. And then he runs off like he's just scored the winner in the World Cup.
If he'd have just, you know, been all right and just sat on the bench for a bit and come on and scored a few goals, he'd have been all right. If he'd just been all, just sound.
If he'd
say
just,
nothing.
I don't know. Like, I wonder when it, you know, if we'll ever find out the truth. Because we've heard his truth, which is obviously slightly biased. Was there a little bit of, I want to go, no. But
you know, I can
sign for someone else, and
I think
don't want me.
I think there was a, if someone comes in for you, we'll go. and this list of teams is this, and I think he just got round to the last team that came in for him. I think Chelsea did bid for him. I think Ten Hag's just gone, the situation we're in, if I sell you to Chelsea right now when we've just lost our two opening games, I can't do it. And I think that he probably could have gone there, but look, whatever it was.
The thing is, he'd have gone to Chelsea, right? And he'd have had the same issue at United, because they were going turbo in the transfer. It'd be like Aubameyang now.
Changing rooms at Barcelona last night, celebrating with their team.
Is he what?
He's been playing tennis in Barcelona. He doesn't live in London.
Oh my God! He's not gone back to Barcelona.
No, he just doesn't play. He just doesn't turn up for Chelsea. He just goes and sits.
And they're not bothered because he's got 42 players and they can't have him play. The training
mental.
Ground. with Santa Knox, what's he said? Someone's laughing. He said Santa Knox is Gary Birtles. Yeah. Prolific, the former carpet fitter. Eh? how good are you when you're a carpet fitter and you play for Manchester United? Our record signing at one point as well, slightly before my time. Rancid Grape says Roy Keane, but he'd be suspended more than playing in today's game. Imagine a keynote tackle on VAR. Don't forget to hit that like button, people. There's over 3,000 people watching. We've only got 375 likes. Before we wrap up, Alex Bagley, give us your Wally of the Week.
I'm gonna go for there's a few with the presenters, but who's the presenter on Sky that does the Dermot Gallagher? What's his name? Can't think of his name, but him, because today when Dermot Gallagher clearly explained why Bruno Fernandes shouldn't be sent off, dead obvious, he went, yeah, but do you think because he didn't get booked, this is fed into Mitrovic fighting with him? No, yeah. Just leave it. Just it's nothing to do with it, and it's just that constant thing of trying to get it back to Manchester United. Yeah, I'm going to go with him, but there could have been about 10 that have brought up Manchester United and referees this week.
I'm trying to find the guy. Get involved in the comment in the chat, or can one of the producers find out who he is?
I can't think of his name,
because I know who you mean.
He does ref watch with him all week, doesn't he?
You know what it is, right, with this dude, if I can find him. There was that incident with right, here we go. I found it. Sorry, I know this is great television, just watching me going...
You should have seen them Google searches there. That mental.
What, sorry?
Is it Rob
Watt? No.
Is that his name? The guy with
Rob Watton.
There you go. Yeah, right. Oh, there he is.
Rob Watton. Yeah, there you go.
So this is the guy that... after the results, chants by the Ireland women's team, and they apologised for singing a song referencing things he shouldn't have done, referencing the IRA, I think it was. He was then talking, he did the interview, and you think he made that point, and there was I think it was Chloe Mataski, apologised and said sorry, and then he was like, do you think you need a bit of education around? And she was like, what? Pretty sure they don't need educating on what happened in their own country for many years. I think that was a bit nonsensical, but he kept pressing it past the point of you've made your point now, and he just kept going, and we've seen it. And I get it, like there's a part of him who'll have a producer saying like, you know, go with this, go with the angle. But it was a bit silly when it's like, do you think that Mitrovic is thinking, oh well, Bruno got away with this last week, so I can
go and punch the ref?
No, come on, man, you know that's nonsense. I get it. Just before I get to you, I'll do a couple of... I'll do one chat I missed, sorry. Zandre Farman says, that's for giving Rashford 5 minutes in World Cup quarterfinals. I think he's talking about Rashford being injured.
Yeah.
Go on then. Who's your Wally of the Week?
Like Baggett said, it could be anyone. But the one that stuck out for me was Darren Bent, just talking absolute waffle. And yeah, he just annoyed me, so I'm going to go for him.
Honourable mention to Sean Wright Phillips, who did the normal thing that people do on Twitter now, which is put a ridiculous statement out with only at Old Trafford would this happen. And then anyone that like puts a normal argument to him just puts the little fishing emoji and goes, I was only joking.
Oh, has he done that?
No, but you weren't, no.
There's that thing, there's fishing, or everyone's rattled.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I've got loads of United fans in mention. Because you said something ridiculous.
Yeah, I think that's that's an annoying one. I'm trying to think who my Wally of the Week is. And for once, I haven't got a definitive, obvious sort of, you know, one that stands out. I don't want to get all political.
There it is. There it is.
But, right, only in this country, right, can Suella Braverman go to Rwanda, laugh her head off on a picture, right, in front of these glorified concentration camps, and brag about the interior design of it. And because people have cut off, or some journalists or whatever, have cut off the people that stood with her, so it just shows her laughing in that way, she's somehow portrayed as a victim in all of this. I'm like, we're through the looking glass, aren't we? And all right, we'll put the people in the picture, don't make it look any better.
No.
She still looks like, you know, the absolute twisted evil person that I think she is. So yeah, I'm going to go with that. And also, if you're going to go abroad, and if you rate your policy so much, why are you only inviting GB News and The Telegraph and The Mail? Oh yeah, they're going to give me a proper, you know, hardcore bit of journalism, aren't they? So yeah, that's my one anyway. Sorry for breaking my usual stance on not getting political on this channel. I promise you next week I'll just be purely about the football. Alex Bagley, where can people find you?
Baggers underscore Alex on social media.
Yeah, go and check him out. Dave, where can people find you?
In the pub, usually.
In the pub.
Oh,
eh?
Yeah.
Singing St. George in my heart. Hey, he'll be down there.
It's an easy joke.
It's a tapping. He'll have the last laugh. Like he did with Steve Cooper. Go and check these guys out. You know where to find me. Big thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring the podcast. Link in the description. Go and check them out. Use the code DEVILSSWEAR. You get 20% off and free shipping. There's loads of other videos up on the channel, of course. We've got all the reaction from yesterday. We've got the news from this morning as well. So go and check that out. And if you've not done already, make sure you are hitting like, share, and subscribe. That's been Dave. That's been Baggers. I've been Jay. This has been the Paddock Podcast. Thanks for watching.
Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.